What's up, everybody? The Romantics of D-Town. I see y'all. We see y'all. Let's get it. Two nerds dating. I love it. A lot of TCA 7th graders up front, which just brought nostalgic memories. That is when I first dated. True story. 7th grade at TCA. And, don't know if I'm going to be speaking positively about that, but we're going to talk about dating. Hey, y'all are new faces to me, and I might be a new face to you. My name is Graham Shelby. I lead the college ministry here at Watermark, and this is my lovely, beautiful bride, Anna Kate Shelby, who, if you're a part of Wake Junior High Ministry, you know her, you see her, you love her, and we are so excited to get to talk to you about God's design in relationships. I'm going to guess that there are three types of people in the room right now. You are either someone who has an interest in dating, whether by curiosity or desire. You are someone who is currently dating, or you are a friend of someone who is. And regardless of what bucket you fall in, regardless of if you fall into multiple or one of those buckets, I am confident that the next 30 minutes, y'all, are going to be really helpful to you. I'm confident that what we are going to talk about is going to help you navigate your desires, that it's going to help you assess your current relationship, and that it is going to help you be a better friend. And the reason I can confidently say that is not because we're dating experts or because we're going to tell you tips and tricks over the next 25 minutes, but because we believe that God is good and that His word is true, and that when we listen to His design of life, it is going to result in more joy and less scars. Mm-hmm. And we deeply, deeply desire that for you. So in the next 25 minutes, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the foundations of relationships. Last night, we talked about rocks and sand. We talked about what you build your life on. And if you want your relationships to be built different, then you need to ask and answer four core questions from God's word. Here's the deal. You can ask and answer these questions, and the culture will have an answer for you. But we are going to ask and answer these, not on culture, not on our experience because we have microphones, but on God's word. And here's the four questions that we're going to go through. I'm going to give them to you up front. First, why date? Why date? The second is, when should I date? Third, who should I date? And fourth, how should I date? I forgot. The fourth is, how should I date? In 25 minutes or less, we are going to talk about all of those according to God's word. So we're going to dive right in. Why date? This is a question that you don't just need to ask if you are not dating, but if you are. Why am I dating, or why should I want to date? And here's the answer that we're going to give that the Bible would validate. Here's the answer. Is why you should date according to the Bible is to pursue a spouse for marriage. Is to pursue a spouse for marriage. The second page of your Bible, if you open your Bible to page number 2, it is the creation account when God makes everything. And on the 6th day, He did not make Snapchat. He made male and female, and He made the fullness of romance, the fullest expression, which is marriage. In Genesis 2:24, this is what it says. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Total and complete union of what the pinnacle of romance is, that two people, male and female, would commit for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do they part, to love and to cherish each other. That is what marriage is. But that might sound poetic, and so let me just give you a vision of what this is for us. Because what you should desire in dating is this. Shannon, put up the photos from our recent marriage. So this is two photos of the same day, okay? And they look very different. You have one that is Instagram, and you have one that is reality, all right? And so let me just tell you how my marriage, our marriage,
wedding
started.
Yeah.
Our wedding night went, all right? Vulnerable that we're just going to go ahead and start this, all right? So we get married and on a Sunday, and it was an amazing celebration, and we leave, and we're going to our hotel, and we are married. We have rings on our fingers. here we go, last name changed, we're ready, it's awesome. And we go to the hotel, and when we go to sleep, about an hour into going to sleep, I wake up in total and complete panic and horror to learn and realize that I have literally...
Guys, get ready.
...diarrhea'd on myself in the bed. You ready for that? Yeah, you weren't ready for that. You might all just be like, dude, this guy just lost all credibility. Straight up happened. Yep, literally. All right, how can you recover from that?
All right, bring it back.
Bring it back. Yeah, I probably lost you, and you're not going to be able to concentrate, and I realize you're probably never going to be able to see me the same way ever again. It's scarring, I know. Here's what you need to know. That is literally 5 hours into being married. That is what happened. And you might be like, dude, what is wrong with you? Well, fun fact, I was deathly sick the entire day leading up to that, barely made it through the wedding. And that is what happened when I fell asleep. And I had no idea that that would happen. And the picture is an hour later when we are in the ER of my wedding night. And that's where we ended up, is in the emergency room. And what a great start to marriage. But here's the reality, is that that's a beautiful picture, and anyone can do that, and anyone can pay photography and buy suits and dresses, but the reality of marriage is on the right side. And that is someone who lived out the vows I just told you, in sickness and in health, applied immediately. And what you are wanting in dating is not just someone who's attractive, who's going to text you, who's going to go to dances with you. That's not what you want. Like, that is too small of a desire. What you want, ultimately, is someone that is going to be committed to you and loving and serving you when it is not Instagrammable and it's not easy.
Yeah, and even that is such a small picture of in sickness and in health. There are going to be a lot of things that will come your way when and if you get married that are really, really difficult. And you want somebody who will be by your side to cry with you and to laugh with you and all of the things. That's just a really, really small picture of that.
Exactly. And that's pretty drastic, right? Like that example. But marriage is God's idea, which also means that dating is a cultural phenomenon. I don't know if you knew this, but the verse just showed that marriage has been around since the beginning of human creation. And dating has not existed until the last 150 years. Like, that literally has been a new reality for us globally. And so it's just worth saying, okay, if why I'm dating, if ultimately if it's pursuing the end and supreme expression of romance, and you're in seventh grade right now, and you want that or desire that, first off, that's a good thing. But if you're doing that, and then you're looking at marriage and you're like, I have no intention of getting married in the next decade, or that's not why I'm after, you should ask yourself why you are getting into it right now.
And some of those reasons could be the approval of others. So you're like, man, all my friends are dating, I want to date. Or it could be, man, I want to do this for my own pleasure. And the list can go on. Any of those reasons that aren't for marriage, you are going to end up with more scars and less joy. And so that's why we want to tell you this right now of like, hey, we're not saying you're wrong for wanting to date. Totally get that. I was there when I was your age. But if you are not at a place where you can get married right now, we would say, hey, it might not be the best idea because there is more opportunity for more scars. And so that's kind of why we want to say that of like, hey, we wouldn't advise it. We're not saying you're wrong if you are or if you desire to. And so we want to give you a roadmap for that right now. But we would say, hey, if you can't get married, you might have a long time before you can get married. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot more opportunity for hurt.
Yep. And so if you're dating, we're not against you. We're not locking and loaded arrows at you. We're just lovingly challenging you that you must ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Like, why am I doing this? And if it's honestly not to pursue a spouse for marriage, then you are dating. You're just not dating biblically. And you should be honest with yourself. And you should be honest with others.
Yeah.
So that's why. That is the what of marriage. That is the why of dating biblically. Now let's talk about when you should do that.
Yes. So the next question is, when should I date? And so the answer to this is when I am ready, able, and affirmed by others. So let's go through all of those. When am I ready? The verse that we're going to go to for this is 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." And so when you are ready is when spiritually this list on this verse is a descriptor of who you are. And so are you somebody who is characterized by pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace? Are you seeking after a relationship with Christ? Are you rooted in him? Are you satisfied in him? Or are you wanting to date because you have a desire in your heart that is not fulfilled by God and you want somebody else to affirm you?
It was really helpful to know that readiness is not I want to. Like, it is not a, it's not a matter of desire, but I'm ready to. It has everything to do with maturity. And age is not the single determinant of readiness.
Yep.
There are 15-year-olds who are more ready to date than 30-year-olds. That's just true. It's, age doesn't make you ready. It is a maturity standpoint. And here's what I mean by readiness, okay? I'm gonna use an example of a sport that probably none of y'all participate in, okay? It is marathon running. So if anyone's in cross country or track, it's that on steroids. It's a long distance race, okay? So cheers to that. I didn't do that in high school, but it's great. So running a marathon is a long distance. And the way that you run a marathon is not just being like, you know what? I want to run a marathon. Just not going to work. Desire is not going to get you 26 miles down the road. It is going to be training and preparation for months and months and months, a lot of which you don't want to do. But when you show up to that race line, it is very obvious in the thousands of people that would participate who is ready and who's not. Who's on the sidelines puking, who's walking, and who is running in stride, not even breaking a sweat, past mile 19. Okay? And it shows itself by the training beforehand. And so that verse, 2 Timothy 2:22, has nothing to do with desire that you have or attraction to someone else. It has everything to do with your personal maturity. And that same book talks about training for godliness. That is a value to train yourself and to grow in maturity. And when you do that, there is a readiness then to add another person to the equation.
Yeah. And we wouldn't want y'all to hear this and say, okay, I'm going to pursue these things so that I can be ready to date. We should pursue these things because this is what is going to make us satisfied in Christ and live a life that is full and rich and abundant with the fruits of the Spirit. And so don't pursue this to be like, man, I want to be mature enough to date. Like, if you pursue these things, you will have a life of satisfaction even in being single. And so don't want to get that confused. So that answers the question, when are you ready? And then in answering the question, when are you able? You are able when you are ready to fulfill the calls or roles of being a husband or a wife. And so let's look at what the Bible says about what it means to be a godly husband and a godly wife. And that is when you are able to pursue marriage. So for a godly husband, Ephesians 5 tells us that a godly husband is a man who can love sacrificially. So that means saying no to himself and serving his wife, saying no to his own desires and serving another, one who is able to protect and to provide for and cherish his wife. So, guys in the room, you have to ask yourself, man, are you in a spot of life where you can do that, where you can provide financially for a wife from your allowance?
Unless you're bankrolling on that allowance, odds are it's not happening.
Those are things that you just want to consider. Are you in a spot spiritually where you can sacrifice for someone to a degree that a husband can? Hey, let's bring it back, you guys. And then for a wife, that is a woman who submits to the authority of her husband and loves him and respects him and honors him and speaks with kindness and does good to her husband and serves him. And so that's found in Proverbs 31 of a godly wife and from Ephesians 5 as well. And so for girls, it's like, hey, are you in a place where you would trust and put yourself under the leadership of a 15-year-old boy?
Outside of your, instead of your family.
And so those are things that you just have to consider of like, man, am I ready to fulfill what I am pursuing? If not, then it's probably unwise to date because you will get hurt or the person that you're dating will get hurt. That's just how it goes. And then the last would be have others affirmed you in this decision. And so this is why it's so important to have community around you. And I'm so thankful that so many of y'all are in small groups where you have others to speak into your life. And you can ask during small group, hey, do y'all think it would be wise for me to date right now? And other people can speak into, hey, are you spiritually mature enough? And are you able? And are you affirmed by others in your life? That includes family too. And so if your parents are telling you not to date, we know the Bible does say honor your mother and father. And so if they're telling you not to date, a way to honor them and know that you are obeying God's word is to not date. And I know that's hard. I was in a high school, my parents were telling me not to date, and I found every way to go around that and regretted it because it did end in hurt for me. And so that is the when should I date. And then going on to our next question is who? So who should I date? If I'm ready to date, who am I looking for? Who is the person that I should pursue for marriage? And so the answer to this is you want to date somebody who has proven their character to you and who is not just potential. Not somebody who you're like, man, they're really cute, but like sometimes they're kind of rude and sometimes they make really unkind jokes, but like maybe they'll come around and like they go to church, so maybe it'll be okay. You do not want to have to justify the person who you are dating to date them. And so you want to date somebody who has proven their character, not just to you, because it's really easy to come across super impressive to somebody that you like, but who has proven their character, and you see them treating their family and their friends and you in a consistent way that shows that they are following and submitting to Christ. And so a way that we're going to go through this is the character that you're looking for, the character that you want to see displayed in somebody that you are pursuing today or somebody who has asked you to date them, is a good guideline for this is looking at 1 Timothy 4:12 that lists some characteristics. It says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set for the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And so this is a good list to go to be like, man, do they set an example? Does he or she set an example in these five things? Mm-hmm. So thinking about speech, man, how are they using their words? Are they gossiping about others? Are they making fun of others? Do they make jokes at the expense of others? Or are they using their words to build up others and celebrate others and encourage each other and ask people how they're doing and be a there you are person, not a here I am person? And so how are they using their speech? And then conduct. How do they treat their family? Are they really rude to their mom and dad? Are they really rude to their little brother or little sister? That says a lot. And those are things that you want to watch. Do they make fun of their friends or do they build them up? How do they treat you? Are they trying to push boundaries? Are they trying to take advantage of you in any way? That is not good conduct that honors the Lord, and it will not honor you. Mm-hmm. Love. Do they live a life marked by service and care for others? Or do they live a life for themselves? Are they chasing down popularity? Are they chasing down things that are just of this world and are not going to amount to anything? Or are you seeing them use their lives for the sake of glorifying God? And then faith. So do they love God and pursue him through his word, through being involved in a small group, going to church? Are they serving others? Or are they just going to church and saying, hey, I'm a Christian, but not living out a faith? And then purity. So do they have a high standard for themselves? And this doesn't have to go just with physical purity, but are they pure of mind? Is their speech pure? Are they living a life that is marked by purity? And can you see them have self-control in their lives? Or are they pushing boundaries with you and pushing boundaries in their lives and justifying sin in their lives? And so that's who you want to look for. You want to look with somebody who is defined by good speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And then going on to, hey, when I am thinking about who to date, how could it be helpful to evaluate, am I ready to date this person? Is this a person who is worthy of my pursuit or worthy of going on a date with? And so three helpful questions of evaluation are right here. It's one, do they fear God? Two, do you respect them? And three, do you enjoy them? So do they fear God? Do I respect them? Do I enjoy them? And I even used those questions when I was dating Graham, just to be like, man, how am I feeling about this? What does he display in his life? So is he marked by those 1 Timothy 4:12 characteristics? Because guys, who you marry is the most important decision of your life, aside from giving your life to the Lord. And so this person you are tethered to for the rest of your life. They are going to be with you in the highs and the lows, and you want somebody who is dependable and loving and submitted to the Lord. And so that's why it's important to evaluate these things. But first, do they fear God? And so if they don't fear God, which means, man, they love God above anything else, they are not going to be able to care for you well. They're not going to be able to honor you well, and they will be ruled by their own selfish desires, which will hurt you. But if they honor God and submit to him in all areas of life, they will live by a definition of his love that is patient and kind and doesn't insist on its own way, and they will be able to love you well. And so that is the number one thing that you need to ask yourself is, do they love and fear God? It's not, do I think they're cute, or are they the most athletic guy, or are they the prettiest girl? Because those things will fade. And then the second is, do I respect them? And so this isn't just, again, do I like them and do I think they're cute? But it's, man, have I seen them display a character that I trust? Do I trust this guy to lead me well in a relationship? Do I trust this girl to date me well and care for me well and help me lead her? And so that is really, really fundamental of, like, you have to be able to trust their character. Do you respect them? And then the third is, do you enjoy them? And so if you're going to live the rest of your life with somebody, you want to enjoy them. You want them to be your best friend. Graham is my best friend, and it is so fun to be married to him because we have so much fun and we enjoy each other. Again, this is the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, possibly, if you get married. And so having fun together is a big component. And that doesn't just mean on the really fun dates, but it means in the monotonous and the boring days as well. Of like, man, can you have fun together? And so with these three questions, the third question, do you enjoy them, does not matter if the first two you can't answer yes to. And so if you can't respect them, but you're like, oh, I enjoy them, so like maybe I'll date them, that is an unwise choice. I have dated guys where I was like, man, you're really fun, but I just don't respect you, and I don't trust you to lead me. And if I had continued to go down a road of dating them, I think I would have been hurt a lot more by those relationships. And thankfully, God protected me from that, and I was able to say, hey, I just don't think I respect them, and I don't think I can trust them to lead me. But that has to be foundational. You have to be able to say, hey, I know that they fear God, and I respect them and trust them. And so those two are fundamental, and then enjoyment is the third that, like, hey, I've also dated guys where I was like, man, I respect you, and I also think that you fear God, but I don't enjoy you, and you're just not my cup of tea, and that's okay. Like, you're just not going to vibe with everybody, and that's totally fine to say, hey, I'm not going to date you because I just don't think that this is working in the sense of, like, I don't think we're enjoying each other in the best way. And so that's what we would say for who should I date. Anything to add to that, Graham?
You covered it. Amazing. Way to go, wifey. All right. That's nice. All right. Well, let's keep going. Last question. How should I date? All right. All right. Hold your applause. Wow. Want to get really practical here, okay? Truly.
All right, guys.
Yeah, that was,
we're going to talk about the big one. Yep. How should I date?
How should I date in 5 minutes or less? Here you go. That's a lot to load into 5 minutes, and so we're going to put a memorable word, which is four letters, to four ideas. So this is how you should date. Biblically speaking, it is with care. It is with care. Write that down, with care. Each of those letters represents something. The first one is this, is that if you are going to date well, you should communicate clearly all the time. That's not a guy role. That is a both and role, but y'all should be good at that. And I will say that that doesn't just limit, it's not limited to dating. That is the name of the game of marriage, is communication.
And relationships.
And relationships.
In general.
Ephesians 4:29 says, speak the truth in love. Emphasis on speak. And so that's actually so simple, but it's worth saying that you should openly, face-to-face, with your words, not just with your texts, tell each other how you feel and what you want. Mind-blowing, I know.
And going back to the first question we talked about, don't speak what you can't carry through. And so if you're like, man, I want to date you and date you well, and you're like, I can't do that for another 6 years to pursue marriage, maybe don't speak and be self-controlled in that way.
But if you can, you should speak. And you should be clear about that. You should be really, really clear. And so truly, this is going to be helpful that we're educating teenagers, because I'm telling you, we are educating 20s and 30s of the exact same thing, because they don't learn it when they're your age. And so they're vague, and they're texting, and they're sliding into DMs, and they're not clearly communicating. I don't know. Anyways. And here, hey, listen up. Here's what I mean by that. Is that if you guys, I'm gonna go singular with you. Guys, if you like someone and you are wanting to pursue them, then you should tell them, hey, I like you. I would like to take you on a date. That's really simple and basic, but that tells someone what they want and what you want, okay? It's crazy, I know. We had this experience. We had some complicated situation, okay? We were on the same team at work, and so AC was on the college team, and I had to be really, really, really clear when I talked to her, because there was a lot of implications to us dating, being employees of each other. And so I had to upfront tell her, I like you. Here's what I mean when I say that I want to pursue you, because she had to make changes in her life based on what I did and said. And so we had to communicate really, really clearly. It's not just the first thing you say, but it's also as you continue. If you do not want to date anymore, goodness gracious, please do not send a text message. Don't just go ghost mode. Like, you should have the courage to speak the truth in love, whether it's the guy or the girl, and say, hey, I want to tell you that I no longer want to date you. That is respecting someone, that is valuing them by telling them clearly what you want and why you want it. That might sound super basic, but it is more impactful than you know. Communicating clearly. The second, how you care for someone is that you are around others, that you're around others. Proverbs 18:1 says that whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Translation, if you want to date in the dark by yourself, it's going to lead to a lot of bad decisions. And when we dated, we included other people in our relationship. We literally made a shared note on our phone of, here is going to be the way that we are going to date. Here are going to be the things that we are going to do. Here are going to be the things that we are not going to do. And I literally clicked share to 15 people, just guys. And she did that with girls, those that were invested in our relationship, but they had access to know what we were doing. And not just from some note on a phone, but we had it set up to where at a certain point in the day, we could not be by ourselves.
Yeah, and like, I would venture to say for y'all, like, better to more than not be with others. Again, if you're not going to be able to get married for a while, you should not be spending a lot of time alone. It's just not going to set you up for success.
True. It's not just people being present, but people knowing what's going on.
Yep.
And so people should have a backstage pass to your relationship to be able to ask you, what is going on? What are you doing? How is it going? And if that's not a reality in your life and you are currently dating, I'm just telling you, not Graham, the Bible is saying you are foolish and you are setting yourself up for failure and hurt. And God loves you too much to let that happen. Listen. All right. The R for care is to regularly evaluate. We've talked a lot about marriage. Obviously, that is a commitment, an unbreakable commitment. Dating is not that, which means that dating is a constant evaluation, not a full-time commitment, which means you should regularly be asking yourself, what am I thinking about this person and about myself? Like, is this a good fit? If you just say yes to dating someone or going on a date and it's a perpetual yes because you said it once, so you're going to say it forever, that's dumb. That's not helpful. You are constantly evaluating. And you're not just evaluating, is this person treating me the way that I would want to be treated if we were married? But you're evaluating your own heart. Your heart does not stay in neutral, people. It drifts. It goes. It's designed to do that. That God made marriage that you would be fully unified, not just financially or physically, but emotionally. And so if you are dating and you don't think that your heart is not going downstream, you're crazy. So you should regularly ask yourself what Proverbs 4:23 says, to guard your heart, because from it flows everything in your life. Lastly, the way that you care for someone is that you exalt God. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Fundamentally speaking, if you are close with God, you are going to love someone well. If you are not close to God, the literal embodiment of love, then you are getting your source from something that is counterfeit. And you're not going to be a good boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, friend. It's just not going to work that way. So God isn't a means to an end. But if you're not close to him in dating, then expect to honestly not be a good boyfriend or girlfriend. In summary, we're closing up. Here we go. In summary, if you want a relationship, y'all, that's built different right now or in the future, you need to ask yourself those four questions according to God's word. The who, the when, the how, and the what. Let me close with this. Listen up. This is worthwhile. One last verse. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 16:11. It's going to be on the screen. It says this, that God, you make known to me the path of life, that in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The way that I started, I'm going to end. I've lived life a little bit longer than some of you, and I can just tell you with confidence that the warnings of Scripture are true, that the promises of blessing in Scripture are true. God knows where life's found. He literally invented you and relationships. It would be crazy for you to think that you know better. God is not looking to hinder you or to rip you off or to keep you from fun. He is literally looking to help you flourish. Are you willing to let him rule your mind and define how your relationship will be built? Let me pray that you would. God, thank you for teenagers that are in the room that are either curious or are in a dating relationship right now, that they would renew their minds. The culture is really loud, but I pray that they would renew their minds according to truth, not to some couple's experience, but to truth that is unchanging and always relevant. God, you are eternal. You are the author of life, the inventor of relationships. You know us better than we know ourselves. I pray that students in the room would give you their trust in a current culture that is difficult to do so when dating advice is given at every turn, unbiblically. I pray that they would trust you and that you would allow them to experience what real thriving and fullness of joy is like. I pray that in your name. Amen.